Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everyone. Andy Thorburn here. Delighted to see you virtually and welcome to our full year results for 2020. A very busy year for the company. So just a few headlines from me before I pass over to Peter for him to go through his usual detailed numbers and discuss those with you. The big thing for us is, first of all, to say thank you to our customers. As you know, we serve the NHS, we serve community pharmacy, we serve the healthcare partners across the UK in various settings, and they have just done an outstanding job in the front line, looking after all of us through this extended COVID period. And it's been amazing to work with them. The level of collaboration and interaction between our customers and our teams has been outstanding. So I just want to put on record once again our thanks to the NHS and all of the healthcare customers and partners. What a job they've done for the nation. Unbelievable. The other thing which is equally important is our teams here in EMIS. As a CEO, it's not very often you can say that there isn't anything else you could have asked your team to do in a full year, and they just did an outstanding job. They stood tall with our customers. They did extraordinary things to make sure that our system stayed up, that we adapted our systems and the way we operated to support our customers through the pandemic. And that truly is amazing. And all thanks and credit to the teams, both in India, who support in our development area, and of course here in the UK. So just outstanding job. The other thing to say is a year of positive progress, good execution in a very complex environment. And I'll take you through some of the things that we did to support COVID, but also keep the show on the road with our strategic investment. And what's really important for us as we come out of this post-COVID world is we see a company well positioned to deal with the challenges of healthcare in the UK going forward. And we see on the horizon some growth along the lines we talked about with our objectives and capital markets day just over a couple of years ago. So without further ado, I'll pass over to my partner in crime, Mr. Southby, and he'll talk you through the numbers as always. Thank you. Look forward to talking to you later on.
Great. Thank you, Andy. And good morning, everybody. Let me take you through the numbers, starting with the financial highlights then. So to summarise, 2020 represented a creditable performance in a challenging year. Overall, these are a good set of results, actually marginally ahead of our expectations revised in March last year at the start of the pandemic. Revenue was unchanged at 159.5 million. And within that, recurring revenue was up 4% to 130 million. Group operating profit was also unchanged on headline adjusted numbers. And by way of reminder, that's where we expense all of our development costs as incurred. Cash generation was particularly strong, helped by the VAT payment holiday. We generated just short of 59 million of adjusted cash from operations, with net cash increasing by more than 20 million over the year. While adjusted EPS was broadly unchanged, we increased the dividend by 3% with a final dividend of 16 pence, continuing to deliver on our long-term commitment to increasing returns to shareholders, reflecting also our robust balance sheet and our confidence in the underlying medium-term prospects for the business. Turning to the next page, this shows the P&L performance of the business split into half years and also compared to 2019. We break down revenue and the segmental performance in a bit more detail in a moment, but in summary, we recorded a stronger second half in making good progress at both top and bottom line. The results here included a strong performance post-March acquisition for the Pinnacle business, and that contributed 2.2 million and 0.7 million to revenue and profit respectively. While we didn't furlough any staff, we remained focused on our costs. Although our cost of sales increased with more hardware sales, other costs such as travel and contractor costs for implementations naturally reduced as a result of the lockdowns. And we've also had a dedicated internal team driving procurement savings in the business. And that's contributed both to these results and to reducing our ongoing cost base too. Whilst our total development investment increased a little this year to 21.2 million, with more development effort focused on the COVID response, we capitalised a little less development cost on the balance sheet this time, whilst amortisation of development costs picked up in the second half following the launch of EmisX functionality. We took an exceptional credit of £1 million in the year, that related to the release of contingent acquisition consideration no longer being paid. And we also benefited from 800,000 being the final element of consideration under the 2019 agreement for the disposal of the specialist and care business. And that's shown here as other income. Tax was close to the statutory rate for the period at just over 19%. Adjusted earnings, as we saw, broadly unchanged, whilst reported earnings moved up with a net reduction in amortisation and the year-on-year effect of the exceptional items. So turning to the segmental analysis, in EMIS Health, which covers the NHS-facing public sector side of our business, here revenue increased by 7%, boosted by hardware sales in particular. Whilst in the absence of the usual level of higher margin project delivery revenues, this meant a lower gross margin sales mix than usual. Adjusted operating profit also moved forwards, with the benefit of those tightly controlled operating costs. In the EMIS Enterprise division, that's the consumer and private sector side of what we do, performance here was more subdued, reflecting a tougher market and a strong comparative period. Nonetheless, recurring revenue grew year on year, and a better second half provides encouragement for 2021. In 2020, this segment represented about a third of our revenues and close to 40% of our profits. Overall, therefore, adjusted operating profit and margins were unchanged in the year. The next table on the next slide shows a split of our revenues, split between the main revenue categories and also between recurring and non-recurring. So here, as we've seen, recurring revenue moved forwards with a balanced reduction in non-recurring revenues driven by the deferral of some new projects as a result of the pandemic. The most significant year-on-year changes in the revenue categories here are in software subscription and support. That includes the acquired Pinnacle revenues and growth from existing customers. Also in hardware, boosted by the need for remote working in primary care during lockdown in particular. And in perpetual licenses, training, consultancy, and implementation, which is very much project driven, and that came through less strongly in the more challenging environment of 2020. So overall then, looking at 2020, we regard it as being a pause year in our growth trajectory, and we're anticipating a return to growth in 2021. The next slide sets out our cash flows, a summarised cash flow statement. So here the headline, adjusted cash from operations, which is before exceptionals, but having absorbed all of our development costs, that was 27% higher as set out in the box. Working capital movements largely explain the year-on-year change, with a significant contributor to this being the 7.3 million VAT payment holiday, which unwinds in the first quarter of this year. The cash exceptionals in here reflect the payment in the first half of the year of the last of 2019's reorganisation costs. Business combinations relates to the Pinnacle acquisition, 2.9 million, and to Dovetail, where we closed out the deferred contingent consideration and completed our acquisition of the remaining minority stake in the business in the year. On the other side, the final receipt in respect of the 2019 disposal of the specialist and care business brought in 800,000. On the CapEx side, net CapEx was significantly lower. That's partly through tight control, but also with the benefit of 2.5 million of proceeds received at the beginning of the year in respect to the former head office property. Elsewhere, cash tax was a little higher. We effectively paid 18 months of instalments in the year as HMRC moved us onto an in-year payment basis for corporation tax. Overall, therefore, we reported the net cash inflow for the year of 21.9 million, taking the year-end balance to 53 million overall. The next slide summarises our balance sheet. I think the key point to note on this is that we've maintained a very strong balance sheet. We have no debt. We have an available facility that we'll be reviewing later this year, so it gives us plenty of flexibility and headroom. The main changes since last year end relate to the acquisition of the Pinnacle business, to the VAT deferral, and also we've got some new leases on the balance sheet for the first time under IFRS 16. And then turning to our outlook, some of the trends that we think are likely to affect our financial performance going forwards. For staff costs, these are likely to be broadly consistent in 2021 with steady staff numbers overall. Our development costs, there we'd expect to see perhaps a slightly more balanced rate of capitalisation and amortisation in the year, with EMIS-X amortisation now underway. Share-based payments obviously depends to some extent on projected performance, but current guidance is for this to be consistent, or maybe just a little higher than in 2020. Our tax rate, the P&L charge will be in line with the statutory rate at 19%. And we expect about a 300,000 adjustment charge as we transition the deferred tax balance to the newly announced 25% rate coming down the line. Cash tax, of course, drops back to a more normal level this year. On the CapEx side, expect that to be a little higher with some deferred from 2020 and also further investment taking place in our internal systems. From a working capital point of view at this stage, we would expect to be close to neutral overall, excluding the unwinding of that VAT payment holiday. From a dividends point of view, the final dividend payable in May amounts to just over £10 million. And looking ahead then, in terms of our 2021 guidance, cash flows are likely to be a little less positive than in 2020, with that working capital unwind moving negative. But we'd still expect a modest increase in net cash overall over the year. From a performance point of view, we'd expect to move back towards more modest growth, trading through what is hopefully the tail end of COVID-19 in 2021. We're happy with the board's expectations for the year. Looking beyond that into 2022 and 2023, we'd expect to see at least mid-single digit revenue growth and also margin improvement coming through, consistent with our goal of moving towards 30% operating margins in the coming years. I'll hand back to Andy now, who's going to take you through the operational review. Andy, over to you.
Thanks, Peter. So operation review, a very busy year for us. I think a couple of things to highlight here. The first thing is the strap line you can see here. We sat down as a team in February to figure out what our North Star would be relating to COVID. And what we discussed was we just have to do the right thing by our customers and our colleagues at all times. And also underpinning that was making sure we'd family-friendly policies around the different situations for our team members as childcare arrangements became more difficult, as mums and dads weren't available to support their children and grandchildren. As I said up front, you know, great teamwork in these really difficult times. There's lots of highlights, and I talked about the fast response on COVID as an example, and also the ongoing support of some of the big initiatives like the vaccination program in England through Pinnacle, which we'll talk about briefly later on. On the right-hand side of the chart, what was really pleasing is not only did we respond quite brilliantly to COVID challenges, but we kept the show on the road with our strategic investment program, making sure we continued to build for the future and with the goal of achieving those Capital Markets Day objectives we set out just over 2 years ago. We also found opportunities in new areas and we started to work extensively in life sciences, and I'll touch on that in a overall value proposition slide later in the deck. Many highlights in our COVID-19 response. I'm not going to go through all of those, but we did a lot of support through patient.info, 80 million unique visitors through the year. We had all sorts of COVID checkers. We did videos, and we gave a lot of support to the general public through the platforms that we have, including patient access. We also continue with our support of the whole program around COVID-19 for our customers, and what's been quite amazing is to witness the Pinnacle team who joined us last year, as Peter outlined, pivot and use their software to become the IT software to support the vaccination program outside hospitals. So some great stats, 1,400 vaccination sites at the moment. That's actually increased probably since these numbers went down. 15 million vaccinations. And I have a dashboard. I see every hour, I can tell you how many vaccinations that are happening across England in any hour. What was also amazing is that this application was not built for this capability, and therefore we had to scale it dramatically at the start of January. And the team did that, working extraordinary hours to do the right thing. And what's also been great, since we launched the service to support the vaccination program, we've got availability of 99.99%, which is quite stunning. So again, credit to the team. And also it's great that Pinnacle has become such a strong part of the EMIS group already. Engaging with our customers, incredibly important. Lots of engagements at lots of levels. And in some of the parts during the year, whether the start of the pandemic or through the year or the second phase, if you like, in the October-November timeframe, or this recent phase of, if you like, recovery through the vaccination program, we have been collaborating with our customers in an extraordinary way. Our team members have been meeting twice, three times daily with many colleagues, figuring out challenges, working together to solve complex problems with systems. You know, our credit goes out to NHS Digital, NHSX, NHS England, as well as all of the community trusts out there. Just a great job. And what's magnificent for us working with our customers is they're so collaborative. And really together, we've been solving complex problems to meet the challenges of COVID. That's been really pleasing. What's also been pleasing is we've continued with our connected care strategy. And we've got one example here of further integration, bringing different care settings and different patient records together. And that's something we've been doing consistently for the last couple of years and will continue to do. The other thing, EMIS is nothing without its team. And what was also amazing through the year is not only were we working on COVID response, we also were upping our game in the way that we work with our teammates, really empowering them, really supporting them through our HR business partners who did an amazing job. And also we have 28 mental health first aiders who volunteered. This was pre-pandemic, and they have been incredibly busy supporting individuals as they find the challenges of working at home, sometimes, you know, really quite challenging. But what's been great is the collaboration throughout the whole period. That has been great to witness. The other thing which was also exciting for us is we fine-tuned our identity through the year with an odd number, 97 people building our new value set, which we signed off as a group. And what's really important is these values are the heart of our social conscience, if you like, as a business. We want to be a leading provider. We are a leading provider in healthcare tech. We want to continue to do that to improve people's lives. That is a mission critical statement for us. But also we refuse to compromise. We will operate at the highest standards of clinical safety, data security, business integrity, and healthcare ethics at all times. And that doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're working really hard to live these values every single day. I think the other thing for us in lockdown is we've got closer to our people. There is no doubt about it. And we've empowered them. We've allowed people to work when it suited them to work, providing they weren't picking up the phone to our customers, of course, because they've had challenges managing their families at home, schools not being open and such like. And we really have built that relationship to the next level. We trust them, we value them, and we're absolutely empowering them to go on with their job within good frameworks that make sense. I think the other thing we're delighted with is we are just the way we are. We're authentic, and that's incredibly important to us. The way we act, the way we think, this is us. There's no game face that goes on. This is the way that we act. We are absolutely inclusive. Anyone from any background is welcome in our company. And what's great is we've had groups of employee forums popping up with people with different interests, and they're sharing their experience and educating us all on some of the great heritage we've got inside the company, and we really value that. And the final thing to say about this is we're really celebrating success, and a great idea that came through is our EMIS Heroes program, which you can see in the second bottom bullet on the left. And that is where we have a system where you can go on and you can award someone something for being successful on the day. And that might just be a thank you card. It might be a financial reward. And that has empowered our leaders and our managers to thank the people who really make the difference in their company every day. The final piece is we've got four core values we're working really hard to live to. Number one is we are responsible. And I am responsible for the results of the company, and everyone within the company is responsible for their part as the overall EMIS team. We're absolutely collaborating in a way we've never done before. We've broken down our silos and brought everyone together in a matrix management approach. That is paying dividends. We will support our team through good days and bad. We'll be there for them when it's difficult and there for them when it's time to celebrate success. And finally, we are transforming the way we operate and the way we do things for our customers, and that is an important mission for us. The final thing in this incredibly busy year, and when you see the detailed statement and look at our report and accounts, which will be out shortly, there has been so much work done in this company in the last 12 months, in addition to the COVID response. And I'm just delighted to talk about EMIS-X and EMIS-X analytics. And the team did an amazing job to accelerate the execution of this part of EMIS-X to bring out early to help our customers respond to the pandemic. We are part of major studies. We highlight one here with Oxford University around the whole COVID-19 implications. And this is one of many studies we're involved in. We're working actively with our NHS customers, and we've got many, many pilots now looking at the impact of COVID, identifying patient cohorts at risk, and working with actionable intelligence. That's incredible. And also, we're now working closely with our life sciences customers, new customers, real big names on the global scale. And we're working with them as their business models change because of COVID. And we're helping them really develop their business and collaborate well with the NHS and other healthcare partners. So we kept a show on the road while doing all these other things, and that is incredibly pleasing. Has the market changed? You bet you. There's lots of things going on here. COVID-19 has taken the healthcare market in the UK and absolutely accelerated all sorts of things. So the next couple of slides will give you a little bit of a view of what we see emerging in the market. So the first to talk about, which is well known, has been published by the government. There's a white paper talking about how the NHS will operate going forward. The key to that is integrated care systems, and our position as the connected care leader, we play very well into this agenda. And although we never know the exact structure that will emerge until these white papers are published, we are aligned with this thinking and we agree with the Secretary of State's direction. And also, most importantly, is the fourth bullet point down, which is the data will underpin this whole revolution of the healthcare system in the UK. And that's something we recognise, and EMIS-X and EMIS-X analytics is just one aspect of our response and anticipating the needs of our customers, which we're already seeing on a day-to-day basis. So we're well positioned for this. The changes will take some time to implement because NHS is not just an organisation, it's a system. It's complex, it's large. And clearly it's challenged in this day job right now with continuing COVID challenges, as well as the response to some of the other things that have been parked because of the COVID impact. So lots to do here, but we think we're well positioned and we see upside opportunities here. We have to track the changes, of course, and we'll work to do that. This is a very interesting slide. I'm not going to go through the detail. It's more for reading post-presentation, but there's a number of themes that we see coming through, starting in the top left, digital health. Our thesis is the world of healthcare doesn't go back to where it was pre-COVID. We think there's going to be a combination of digital and remote support, if you like, as well as physical locations. And we think that will continue post-COVID, post the vaccination program, when hopefully all of us move forward and have some more freedoms. On the healthcare data and analytics side, we're already seeing demand to support patient cohorts that are at risk. And that is very important. I mentioned that earlier on. And then on the right-hand side, this collaboration between healthcare organizations and life sciences coming much closer. You've heard the Secretary of State talk about it many times when he's been discussing this in his regular briefings, how important life sciences is in the UK. And we see that coming together. We see their business model changing, and digital and data are going to be really important aspects to support them. And therefore, we see that as an emerging opportunity for the group. The foundations to this are two. One is international standards. So one thing we didn't actually really highlight over the last period is we upgraded EMIS Web to SNOMED CT. This is, if you like, the language of healthcare. And that's a massive upgrade, which was the biggest thing we've ever done in EMIS Web since we launched it. That's all bedded down and has been brilliantly executed. Another execution highlight for us as a team. But also we're looking at FHIR, which is the interoperability standard for healthcare, both in the UK and also internationally. And I'll touch on that in the next slide just in a second. On the right-hand side to the bottom, global platform services. COVID has changed the world of healthcare. The big tech companies are racing into the space, and we have been working very closely with them and Gartner to understand the impact on our business. So for the last 6 months, we've been engaging with Gartner analysts and engaging with the most senior people in AWS and Microsoft and Salesforce, all leading platform players in the healthcare space, ensuring we understand what they are doing and we make sure we can see where we can leverage their massive R&D budgets to accelerate our execution. So our EMIS-X implementation strategy continues to develop and adapt, and we are adapting by leveraging the best of EMIS new capability, the best of EMIS old capability, and the best of our partner capability for our lower risk execution and faster return for our shareholders, and that's really exciting. I apologize for how busy this slide is, but I think it's incredibly important to all of us in the company, to our customers, our partners, and our investors. So let me explain a couple of highlights here, and then I'll talk through the implications for investors. So the first thing to say at the top of the chart are the markets we focus on. And what we've made very clear is what we do in EMIS Health, our traditional heritage, if you like, primary care, incredibly strong, community care, very strong, emergency care, very strong. And if you think about the integrated health approach from the Secretary of State, that is where integrated care starts, if you like. On the left-hand side is enterprise and our focus on digital work with patient, our community pharmacy, our hospital pharmacy, now our pinnacle pharmacy capabilities, very, very important. And this new emergence of opportunities in the life science space. So this completes our target markets and the focus of our deep clinical expertise, our deep clinical systems, and our new capabilities. If we then look at extending our capabilities in the colours below, let me explain those to you. The blue is, if you like, our traditional business, our point of care systems that are used inside the emergency room, inside a hospital pharmacy, etc., inside a GP consulting room, or dispensing services on the high street, or again, in hospital. So those are massive foundations. They're clinically focused. They're a great differentiator for the company. If we look at the gray, which starts on the left-hand side under patient, we've been building new digital capability. And what people have always thought is just for the patient app, but that's not been our vision. Our vision is the digital will stretch into the other care settings. And you can see that happening with those dark gray boxes moving across the different care settings, especially at this point in community pharmacy, but also stretching into primary care, where we've integrated the GP desktop directly into the pharmacy consulting room, also part of our EMIS-X and EMIS Connected Care strategy. If you look at the dark green, again, still above the EMIS Connect line, this is our analytics. This is EMIS-X analytics brought to market early, sitting across all care settings, and stretching in to life science with some very sophisticated capability around what we class as 360 care. This is where you can run an algorithm across the massive data set we have in EMIS-X, 1.3 trillion data points. You can identify people against that algorithm that may be at risk. And what's amazing now in our integrated and connected care strategy is that list is fed automatically into the GP desktop, into their workflow, where they can proactively call in Andy Thorburn or Peter, whoever, who is at risk. They can have an assessment, and then if required, they can have treatment or additional prescription drugs. And this also avoids people going into hospital because they're proactively identified. And we see this as incredibly important in the post-COVID world, because COVID has been so challenging for our customers. There are risks, and those risks need to be proactively managed. So this is very exciting and a new space for the business. If we look at the partner solutions line, just a few words to highlight about that. We don't highlight the individual partners, but as you can see from our release, our partner network continues to increase. Where we don't want to play or don't need to play, we fill in with partner solutions. And we're increasingly building that partner network, which will be accelerated as we complete the EMIS-X journey with our FHIR interoperability layer, which I'll touch on now. So that purple line is the key. That connects our capabilities above our end markets and connects to the common services or foundation modules, we called them just over a couple of years ago in our Capital Markets Day. So that is the ability to leverage existing and new capabilities. So all the new capabilities, EMIS-X Digital, Analytics, Patients Database, 2.5 billion documents in the cloud, clinical research and that whole approach for life science, combined with leveraging the brilliance within EMIS Web with clinical intelligence and medical records. And what this means is our execution is now lower risk. We can leverage what we have in a sophisticated way through this interoperability layer. So for investors, there's a number of points, and I've actually written some notes because I think it's important to get those points over. Number one, lower risk of execution. We're leveraging more of our current capability, reducing what we have to rebuild, getting us to market much quicker. Number two, we're leveraging the big R&D budgets from the likes of Microsoft and AWS and others, so we can get there quicker at lower execution risk. Number three, the way we're developing this platform means it'll be lower cost to maintain. And that's why we can continue to develop our margins along the lines we outlined a couple of years ago in Capital Markets Day, with that ambition of moving towards 30% in the coming years. The next point, which is incredibly important, is about revenue and growth. Peter mentioned we'll have a modest year this year, but we're building for the future. So we expect next year and beyond to be within the range of revenue growth we highlighted at Capital Markets Day, consistently from 5% to 9%. We have new revenue opportunities in digital, community pharmacy, EMIS-X Analytics in the NHS, EMIS-X Analytics for life sciences, and also the acceleration of our partner program. We're really excited about those. And I think the most important thing from my seat is the vision of the midterm is coming towards us. In the coming years, we see this growth coming through, and really it's on the horizon now. Financial year 22 and beyond, we start seeing us move into that next stage of the evolution of the company, and that's really exciting. And it's a credit to all of our team here as we've developed our EMIS-X strategy, and most importantly, we've adapted it. We've taken on COVID risks and opportunities. We've looked at partners through Gartner, and we're adapting our strategy, leveraging more of what we have, more of partners to get there faster at lower risk and lower cost to shareholders. And that's exciting for us. Finally, and you know what's interesting from my seat is we've only talked about GPIT futures and one bullet at the end. And that tells you the world we've been in over the last 15 months. IT futures, really important to us. And credit goes out to Bob Brown, our Chief Operating Officer, and the team for managing the transition quite brilliantly. And we don't talk about it because it's going well, which is really, really good. We've continued to maintain our leadership positions in those traditional point of care markets, if we use that term, or we've improved them and we continue to move forward. And this is a great underpinning, which gave us a robust business model through 2020 as the world became so uncertain and we had to adapt to the world of COVID that nobody expected. Not only are we well positioned to support COVID with things like Pinnacle, the immunization service, Keystone, another product we never talk about, is the heart of the testing service, recording all the details on COVID. We're also well positioned for the future. And the test for me was, would we make the same investment decisions we made just over 2 years ago today, knowing COVID? Would we invest in digital? Yes, we would. Would we invest in analytics? We absolutely would. Would we invest in integrated care systems, EMIS-X? Absolutely. So I think we are very, very well positioned for the world that emerges. We're flexible, we're adaptable, we'll follow the organizational changes as we've done in the past with NHS, and we'll stay close to our customers. And we've never been closer to them than we have been over the last 15 months. And just to repeat, what a great job they've done. They've been a delight to work with and delivered for the country. It's been amazing. Our outlook, just to repeat what Peter said, one is we're coming back to growth. So while last year was a pause year financially, it was not a pause year for the company. It was the best execution year since I've been in the seat. And that's down to the team. They did an outstanding job. responding to COVID and keeping the show on the road. That is amazing. I also want to just mention the exec team. We refuse to go backwards in our financial performance, and to get to flat results, we think is really fantastic. And that's a credit to them and their leadership skills with all of the team. Current trading, good start to the year in line with board expectations. We've got a bunch of things that we can see, and as ever, we're an execution company. We get a head down, we don't say too much, and we get work done, and we'll consistently do that. And then finally, EMISX and that broader value proposition that identified in the busy slide, the colour slide, apologies for that, but I think is very important for us. We've got potential to efficiently grow this business, leading for opportunities for that higher growth level from 2022 and the coming years. So in summary, thank you to our customers. Thank you, our teammates. We've been really busy in EMIS in 2020. We're excited about the future. We think we're not only well positioned, we can see on the horizon over the coming years, new growth opportunities and new things we can do to help our customers and most importantly, deliver for our shareholders. The final thing to say, as I said earlier, is the numbers tell one story in 2020, but what's below the numbers is the real story about great progress in our strategic initiatives, great progress in our COVID response, great progress in engaging with our customers, our colleagues, all with the goal of improving shareholder value. And as we look out, not now to the midterm, but to next year and the coming years, we see those ambitions we set out in Capital Markets Day definitely on the horizon. We've got a clear path to those. We can see as an exec team. The words are easy. It's all about execution. And when we leave the roadshow at the end of next week, we'll put our heads down once again and we'll continue to deliver our promise of connected care and growth for the business.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.